Once there was a dark forest, and all the people that lived around that forest, why, they believed there was some kind of strange magic in there. And they tell their children, oh, don't go into the forest. There's a strange old woman who lives there who has all kinds of strange magic. Don't go into the forest. And so most children didn't go. Not unless they were walking, holding their parents' hands. Only then. But there was one girl. One girl who was most especially curious and especially bold. And if you told her to do one thing, why, she'd do the other. So when she heard the stories about the old woman in the forest with her strange magic, why, she waited and she waited until she got so curious that she couldn't wait anymore. Until one day, a wild and stormy day it was, she ventured into the forest, leaves flying everywhere. And she comes, after walking for a rather long way, to a clearing. A clearing with three tree stumps. And sitting on one of those tree stumps, why, there's an old woman. An old woman. And she goes up to this old woman and she says, are you the crazy old lady who lives in this forest, who everybody says has strange magic? And the old woman looked a bit startled. And she looked down at this little girl and she said, why, me? I'm not crazy. And the only magic I have is back in my cottage. I could show you if you like. The little girl, you see, she seemed caught right there between going and running away. In the end, after being somewhat torn, it would seem, between the two, she said to the old lady, who cares what's in your shitty little cottage? I don't care. And off she ran. Well, I did tell you she was curious, didn't I? And so it didn't take very long for this curiosity to build up inside of her. With the words that the old woman had said, I could show you if you like, if you want to see the magic in my cottage. Until one day, why, she just couldn't contain herself anymore. And another stormy day it was. Winds whipping through the forest. Leaves flying everywhere overhead. And she walks, and she walks with determination all the way to that clearing where there's three tree stumps. And sitting on one of the tree stumps, there's the old woman.
I want to see what's in your cottage, says the little girl.
Right then, said the old woman. Follow me. And so she led the little girl through the forest, down windy little paths and across little bridges, crossing rivers, until at last they came to the prettiest little cottage you ever could imagine. All lovely with flowers and a little fence around the outside, and into the little garden they went. You'll see now, said the old woman, as she turned the handle and opened the door, and oh my, oh my, that little cottage was stuffed full of gems. Sparkling gems everywhere, in bowls on the table, overflowing with them, in buckets on the floor, filled to the brim with them, and in little bowls on windowsills and mantelpieces, and everywhere there were so many gems in that place, why, they were just spilling over the floor in places. Jewels, said the little girl. So many gems and jewels. Why so many? Well, that's where my magic comes from, said the old lady. What's so magic about jewels and gems? Said the little girl. Oh, each one of these jewels said the old woman, contains stories.
Stories? Said the girl. What's so magical about stories?
Stories, said the old woman, are the most magical thing there is.
Just pick one. Go on, one just for you. Pick one and take it home with you, and then you'll see what kind of magic I'm talking about.
So the girl, she looked into that little cottage. And the strange thing was that no sooner had the old woman said, pick one, than one of those jewels, it started sparkling as if it was trying to catch her attention, as if it was trying to call to her.
That one, she said, that one there.
Right then, said the old woman, I thought you might say so. And she picks that jewel out of the bowl on the table, and she hands it to the little girl, and she waves bye-bye as the little girl runs out of her house and out of her garden and across the little bridge and through the forest and back, back, back home, all the way to her mother and father's house. And when she gets home, why, she lays that jewel on the table next to her bed, and she crouches down next to it, and she says, so, little jewel, what stories do you have for me?
Well, the jewel had stories, but they weren't for her. They were for her mummy. You see, her mummy had the most terrible fear of spiders. She was always scared of them. She was always scared of them, thinking that they were the most, oh, scariest thing in the world. But right there and then, the jewel started telling stories. All about spiders. Stories about spiders. About how lovely and sweet and charming and delightful and cute spiders were. And the little girl, she listened to this. And then she ran off to her mummy. She said, Mummy, 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 I've got a story to tell you.
Really? Said Mummy. I'm kind of busy.
Oh, you can just carry on doing what you're doing. I'll tell you the story while you're doing it.
And so that's what happened. Mummy carried on with what she was up to. And the little girl, she started telling her the first of her stories, all about spiders and how lovely they were, how cute they were, how sweet and how gentle and harmless, basically. At the end of this story, Mummy said that was lovely. What a charming story, and rather unexpected too. Well then, have you got any more for me?
Yes, said the girl, and back she went to the jewel and asked for some more, and back she went to Mummy, and she told her story after story after story. Indeed, Mummy liked these stories so much that she came to call them her spider stories, and she would look forward to the next one that she could listen to. Until, after so many stories like this, why, one day, Mummy was doing something in the bathroom, and out of the plug hole, there crawled a spider. And instead of going, Mummy said, oh, look at you. Where on earth did you come from? You're so sweet. And after that, why, the little girl, the next time she went to the jewel and said, have you got a story for me today? The jewel said, no, my purpose is complete now.
Oh, said the girl.
Well, I better go off and get another jewel then.
And so that's exactly what she did. She went into the forest. She found the old woman sitting there on one of the tree stumps in the clearing. And she went back through the forest with her to her little cottage.
The old woman stood on the threshold and said, so, what stories do you need now?
Well, I don't need any more spider stories for my mummy, because she's not scared of spiders anymore. Instead of going, ah, she says, aw, look at you. The old woman laughed and was very pleased when she heard this. What else is she scared of then? She said. My daddy, said the girl. She's terrified of him. Sometimes he's rude and mean and angry, and he bangs his fist on the table and shouts and swears, and she has to run away just to feel safe. Right then, said the old woman. Let's see if we can find a jewel for him. And just as before, she told the girl to look into the cottage to see if there was a jewel or a gem that was calling her attention. And it was magic, you know. No sooner had the old woman said that than, looking in through the cottage, she saw one in a little bowl on the windowsill that seemed to be waving its hands and calling to her. It was sparkling and shining so much brighter than all the others. That one over there on the windowsill. The old woman smiled. I thought so. Come on then. And she went in and she took the gem from its little bowl and she handed it to the girl and she sent her home with it. Well, no sooner was the girl back home than she took the jewel and she laid it on her bedside table and she said, well, little jewel, what do you have for me today? And the jewel, it started telling her stories. But they weren't stories for her mummy. No, they were stories for her daddy. And they were so big and so enormous and so dramatic that you might well imagine it would be just the thing for a man like that. Such drama, such tragedy, such important things, such violent happenings, such dramatic outcomes. You could just well imagine they were the stories for a man like that. But they went on and on and on they did until the girl was saying, stop, I can't hear anymore. But still they went on, these stories, until her head was so full of them she couldn't hear another one. And she ran off out of her bedroom, down the stairs, into the garden to where Daddy was bashing stuff in his shed. Which is where he was usually to be found, bashing stuff in his shed. She said, Daddy! Daddy! I've got to tell you a story! He said, can't you see? I'm busy bashing stuff. I can't be listening to stories. I've got too much else to do. She said, no, Daddy! You've got to hear this! It's amazing! Well, Daddy didn't really see what else he could do but just say, oh, all right then, tell me a story, dear. And thereupon, she told him a story she'd just heard. It was so dramatic, all about lords and ladies and battles and fights and drama. And it just went on and was so amazing. And at the end of it, why, it all kind of resolved in this sort of a message of, like, you should be nice. And the best thing is to, like, be a nice person and not be horrible to people. And that's the best thing, sort of, the person to be, like that, really nice. And Daddy's face was a little bit screwed up by the end of it. He said, well, look, that was very nice, but I've got things to do. I mean, there are things here that need bashing. I can't just sit here listening to stories, you know. And she said, no, Daddy, you haven't heard all of my stories, and my next one's even better. She could see that it hadn't really had the impact she'd wanted. My next one's even better and bigger, and you know, you've got to listen to it. Daddy said, no, I just can't really, I've got so much. But she wouldn't hear no. She wouldn't hear no. And she carried on telling him another story. And this one was even more dramatic. All about kings and queens and dramatic events that were epic and extraordinary. And there was romance and there was drama and there were large battles involving lots of people dying. And Daddy was like, whoa. And like, wow.
And really gripped he was, and she could see it, and that just made her more excited, and she told it with even more flair and even more drama. And by the end, though, the story wound up with saying that the very best thing for everybody, even like really violent people, is to be nice and kind and find out that actually they're quite nice too, and that way everybody gets to be happy at the end.
Daddy looked a bit crestfallen at the end of that story. He said, well, yeah, I don't really think much of that. I mean, well, after all, that didn't make a lot of sense at the end. But anyway, look, little one, you've just got to let me get on here. I'm right in the middle of bashing stuff. I've got loads of things still needing bashing. Why can't you just go off and play something else instead of bothering me like this? And he was going to one of his tools and he was about to pick up off the workbench. And she leapt up onto the workbench, because she was agile like that, and she stood on one of his tools. And then she brought out the biggest story of all, about gods and goddesses, about epic battles that changed the course of human history, about so much drama and excitement that Daddy, he couldn't stop listening. He was utterly transfixed. And when the real drama happened, when the real heart-rending tragedy started to ensue, why, it was like she'd taken one of his tools and opened up his heart and let out all the oozy, yucky green stuff that was in there that was making him so mean and all. He cried and he cried and he... And by the end of it, why, Daddy's heart was so clean, so lovely, just like everybody's heart is when there's no more oozy green stuff inside of it. Well then, after that, Daddy was the nicest daddy you can imagine, and he didn't bang his fist anymore, and he didn't swear and shout, except when his football team lost on the telly. That was the only time he did that, but he never did it to his wife and his child anymore. Well, after that, the little girl, she went to the jewel and she said, "Little jewel, have you got any more stories for me?" And the little jewel said, "No, my purpose is complete." "Well then, I better go off and get another jewel then." And so she did. And so it went for the rest of her life. And so it went for the rest of her life. Every time she needed another jewel, she'd go off into the forest and get one. And sometimes the jewels were for people in her life who were struggling and suffering, and she'd tell them the stories that they needed to hear. Other times, however, they were just for her, for things that she was struggling and suffering with, and those were just the stories she needed to help her get through. But all the time, it was out into the forest and find the old lady sitting on the tree stump and go to her little cottage. And before she knows what's happened, why, she's a young woman herself, and she's left home and has children of her own, and they want stories all the time, of course. So then she's going into the forest almost on a daily basis, getting new stories for Johnny and for Billy and for Sally and for all of her children. On and on the stories go until at one point the children say, "We don't want to hear your stories anymore. We've got something else to do." And then it's much less often that she goes into the forest. It's much less often until the children have one by one by one left the house. And as the years go by, she one day looks around and realises that she's an old woman living in a house that's far too big for her. "Ah," she says, "I ought to find somewhere a little smaller, just for me and the cat."
And so she goes around her house, and it's really rather satisfying to see all the things that she's built up over these years that she just doesn't need anymore. So she throws them all into big boxes and she gives them away. And then before long her house is quite nice and empty. But then she remembers the attic. Oh, I should just go and check up, see if there's anything up there. And so up she goes, and no sooner has she turned on the light than... Oh my goodness. What's the attic filled with? All the jewels and the gems that over the years had no more stories. They're all up there, in boxes and crates, and some are even in buckets. And it takes her a long time to get them all down. What am I going to do with all of these jewels, she thinks to herself. Oh, I know. I'll take them back and give them back to where they came from. And so she loads them all up into a handcart, and she pulls the handcart into the forest, which for all its magic holds no fear for her. And she goes to the clearing and expects to find there, as every single time before, the old woman sitting there. But what does she find? Nothing. Just three empty tree stumps and no old woman to be seen. That's funny, she thinks to herself. She was always here. And so she takes her handcart and she pulls it along that track that led to the old woman's house, over the little bridge that led over the river, until at last she sees that cottage in the distance. And when she arrives there and opens the door, why, even more to her amazement, it's empty. Hello, she calls, but the old woman isn't there. Hello? But it's just her there now. And all the buckets that stood on the floor are completely empty. That's strange, she said. The bowls on the table, the bowls on the windowsills and on the mantelpiece, every one of them empty. She looked back at the cart that she dragged all the way with her, overflowing with gems and jewels, and back at the empty cottage. Well then, she said to herself, I know what I can do with this lot. And thereupon she gathers all the buckets and all the boxes, and she empties them into the bowls and the buckets that are on the table and on the floor, and she fills up all the little bowls on the windowsill and all the little bowls on the mantelpiece, and she everything gets filled up until she's going out to the cart and finding great big boxes of gems and not knowing where to put anything. So she just empties the last of them all over the floor. Right then, she says, slapping her hands together, that'll do. And back she goes over the bridge and down the path and all the way back to the clearing. And as she's passing by the clearing, for a moment she feels sad. She thinks of the old woman and how she was always there. She was always there. Perhaps she died, she said to herself. And she goes and sits on one of those tree stumps and just has a moment of silence, thinking of the old woman and remembering her. And she closes her eyes. Suddenly she hears something, like a tree branch snapping just in front of her. And she opens her eyes and there's this little girl staring at her.
Are you the crazy old lady who lives in this forest?
Who? Me? Said the old woman.
Yes, you. Everybody says you're crazy and you've got some strange kind of magic.
Well, I'm not crazy, said the old woman. And the only magic I've got is in my cottage, she said. I could show you if you like. The little girl in that moment seemed caught between going and seeing it and running away for safety. In the end, it was safety that pulled her stronger, and she shouted as she ran, "Who'd want to see what's in your stupid little cottage anyway?" "Ah, well," said the old woman, "she'll be back, and I better be here when she comes." And she walked down that path and across that little bridge until she came to her cottage. "Right then," she said, "looks like I've found my new home."